Good evening, everybody. It's 6 p.m. Thank you. Thank you.
You're running 10 minutes.
Pardon? Jennifer's running 10 minutes late. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, it's 6 p.m. We're going to open the board of the San Carlos Estate, the meeting of the San Carlos Estates Water Control District. September 15th at 6 p.m. Jim Bradford is the chair. Vice Chair Jennifer Finazzo is going to be a few minutes late. Supervisor James Gilchrist is present. Engineer Ron Edenfield is present. Attorney Richard Pringle is present. Supervisor John Solucci and Chanel Cruz, being our Secretary Treasurer, is present. If John Solucci, you please, everybody stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Anybody with a cap on, if you'd please remove it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you would stay standing for invocation. Lord, we just give you praise and we thank you for this beautiful place that you've given us to live. I thank you that your presence will be right here with us to guide and direct each and everything that is done and moved done in order and the way that you would have it to be done. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. The meeting is now called to order. Okay. Just a minute. That's the correct order of things?
Yep, at least.
Okay, right there off the first part?
Yep, probably. Okay. The subject is probably here, yes.
Okay. Item number four is public hearing to adopt fiscal year 2025-26 budget. Mr. Pringle.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Annually, the district is required by law to adopt the budget for the upcoming fiscal year, which begins October 1, 2025. The notice of the budget hearing, and you have to do that by or in a budget hearing, in a hearing process. So we did a notice of the budget hearing that was published. It's been put on the website. There was a discussion of the budget previously, and modifications were made to the budget. You have before you this evening the revised budget that incorporates the changes that were previously presented or discussed by the board. And that budget is before you this evening for your consideration and adoption in this public hearing process. Because this is a public hearing, Mr. Chairman, I would ask you to please make sure to call for public input before the board takes action to adopt the budget.
Okay. Why didn't we just put this down in the after the...
Because it's a public hearing.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Good enough. At this point in time, I'm going to go ahead and call for public input on the budget if anybody has a question. You got your 3 minutes? If you would,
Chris,
please.
Chris Lawson.
Thank you.
24199 Deets, since we are on the budget. In the August meeting, there was some conversation about setting up a social media platform, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, or some other platform, and I just want to stand on record as being opposed to that. I don't see that we need those added expenses to our budget for an unnecessary service, and one that adds additional adverse risk for the district in compliance with federal and state laws. I'd rather see our tax dollars be focused on the necessary activities in the management of the district. We currently have a website that a lot of people in the community do not use and utilize, or even know how to get into it. To add another form of social media just is another layer that I see that people not using. And would provide a positive outcome.
With all due respect, we do have our website published.
It
is published on the front sign in the front of the subdivision.
Yeah, it is, and people just don't, either can't get into it or don't do it. And then the other thing, that only other comment I have is, in the 823 meeting, several landowners commented, that was outside, that they had never received a second bill for the CIP Phase 2 outstanding assessment. That was supposed to have gone out this year. I don't see anything for the CIP Phase 2 assessment on the budget for income. And I know that you all have extended the CIP Phase 2 collection to a third year. So are we anticipating sending out another bill? And if so, should we not recognize those funds at, on some level? So, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else?
I see the legal is 110. I think we paid more last year on that. We've got two lawsuits going on. How are those lawsuits going to be paid for?
It's your turn. Talk.
No, I just asked you a question.
It's not a question and answer time. It's a question. You get to talk for your 3 minutes.
Well, that's my question.
Okay. Thank you. Would anybody else like to have their 3 minutes? If not, we'll be moving forward. Okay. We need to get approval now, Mr. Pringle, for the passing of the...
Yes, sir. And the budget, the revised budget, I believe, was posted to the website. So it has been on the website for some time. The revenue is as proposed or is as described. Remember that the budget is adopted as a whole by the district. It is the directive, the general intention or expectation of revenue to be received and expenditures to be made by the district. Within the budget itself, revenue might be received that is greater than what is described in the budget. Also, expenditures may be different from what is described in the budget as well. So it is not a... it is a snapshot in time. It is not a mandate that prohibits other expenditures from occurring in the district. It is an intentional document to describe the revenue coming into the district through the year, including cash carry forward from previous years and reserves that are carried forward from previous years. And then it is also to describe the expenditures of the district, anticipated expenditures of the district for the year. And then finally is to describe the reserves of the district that are anticipated to be present and to be used for the items described in the reserve line items. So that's the purpose of the budget. It is a guideline, a snapshot in time, and a description of what the district anticipates receiving in revenue and expending in operating expenses of the district and overhead expenses of the district. If the board is satisfied, and this would be the time for discussion among the board as to the contents of the budget and whether the budget is acceptable as written, as revised, and if the budget is acceptable, then we can adopt the budget by a resolution of the district, and I don't have a resolution number, but we can put that into the resolution, Mr. Chairman, and then we can sign it at a later time, as we normally do.
Okay.
I'll finish the resolution once the board makes its decision today. I'll get the resolution to you, and you can execute it. And we'll put that on the website as well. That will become a part of our public records.
Thank you, sir. Any board members have any comments on the budget? If not, put a motion on the floor to approve it if there's no discussion.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, just one more point. The resolution will say that it is for the purpose of adopting the budget for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2025 and ending September 30, 2026. It will indicate that total revenue and funds balance carry forward of $2,311,532. It will also indicate expenditures for the year of $884,935. And it will finally indicate a reserves total, which are broken out in specific categories, including for future road and weir improvements and for maintenance, of a total reserves amount of $1,426,597. So that the combination of the expenditures for the year plus the reserves balance or total equals the anticipated revenue received by the district, including the fund balances brought forward as of October 1, 2025.
Can we take the resolution as you read it and
yes,
approve
sir.
That?
Yes.
Okay.
So it would be a motion to adopt the resolution. And by now, is there by chance a resolution?
Number. James?
I'll fill it in.
I just have a general question. Looking at the summary that the manager provided, there's a revenue versus expenses ratio of 0.8963, stating a shortfall of approximately 11%, right? Obviously, in our last meeting, we had a cap as to how much we could increase our assessments. As sort of noted by Ms. Lawson in that last meeting that she had indicated that she thought we should go higher in order to cover this. Obviously we have carry forward funds in reserve, but I want to make sure that we're addressing what's possible or at least having a conversation about the fact that we're 11% less revenue than we are expenditures.
At this point in time, we don't have the opportunity to change our...
No, I get that. Okay. I just want to make sure we're aware and the district's aware that currently, as this budget stands today, 11% more expenses than revenue.
Okay.
So we're spending more than we're making.
Right.
It's not a good place to be in.
No, it's not, but it was one of those decisions that we didn't want to go overboard on raising the budget any more than we needed to. So, any other questions on that, or
in regards to our legal expenditures? Are these projected to be same as the current year, less than, more than? What are we budgeting for in regards to that? Is it an estimated value?
At this point, it's less.
Less than?
Yeah, it's forecast to be less. See, a portion of our legal expense this year. A portion of our legal expenses this year was dealing with the amended water control plan, checking all the issues that related to that. And so that's over with now. We have a water control plan that the landowners can adopt this fall, and that's where a fair amount of legal expenses went into this current fiscal year.
Thank you, John. Any other questions?
Nope, just want to make those notes.
Jennifer, did you have anything?
Just that the 12% is the operational expense for the attorney.
What, 12%?
The 12% is the total legal, is the percentage of 12%.
Would you like to answer that question, John?
For every dollar we're collecting, 12 cents is going to legal.
Okay.
12 cents or?
Not 12 cents of every dollar we're collecting, right? Because we're having
You're spending 12 cents of every dollar, whether we're collecting or not.
Of the total expenses.
Of the total expenses.
Yes. 12%, exactly. Not of the collected dollar because we're going to have less dollars. So it would be a greater percent of what we're actually collecting.
Correct.
This is a percentage of the expenses that we're sending out.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Pardon?
If I may.
You may.
Just in response, Supervisor Gilchrist, there are occasions where, and it's anticipated by state law, that there will be years when the revenue received, especially from an assessment, which is what you charge, versus an ad valorem tax, will be less than the actual expenditures for that year anticipated. Again, this is all budgeting. These are not the actual expenses that will be incurred by the district, but rather the forecast of the expenses of the district. And so there are times when it is anticipated by even state law, and the auditor verified this the other day in a conversation with him, that there will be years when, just from a budget forecasting process, the numbers will be higher on the expense side than on the revenue received side. It does not become critical until that occurs for multiple years, so that it establishes a downward trend. So you're not in a problem situation. We checked that off with the auditor, specifically talked with him about that point. And so it is not a critical point or a point that is going to require a management letter comment on the audit, either one. We did talk with him also about the fact that when the water control plan is amended, then it will also address some of the expenses for maintenance, some of the expenses for the repairs on the long-term basis that will then be incorporated into future budgets. So this, if you view this as possibly a gap year, that might be a way to view this budget. And then when the water control plan is adopted, then that would set the new standard for the next budget year and thereafter.
All right, and to be clear, the water control plan, if adopted in the fall, is not going to be for implementation till probably the following year, if not later, right? So any new accepted water control plan is not included in set.
No, sir. That is correct, and it's actually, we're anticipating springtime discussion and consideration of that amended water control plan. And there are still more parts to be completed with that, with regard to determining construction costs for some of the elements that are described in that amended water control plan. And so we still are going to have to pull some more information together. There's a draft of it out there of the amended water control plan that has all the concepts in it, but there will be some more work to be done to finalize the fiscal part of that amended water control plan. And then when all that's brought together, then we'll present it to the landowners for adoption.
Okay.
Are we ready to move forward?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then I'll put a motion on the floor to accept the resolution as presented by the attorney and adopt the 25-26 budget.
I'll second.
Aye. Did you say?
I second it.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving forward. Engineers report.
Good evening. With respect to permitting over this period since the last meeting, we still have about 30 open applications in various stages. We have not received any new permits, and we have not closed any permits. We have conducted somewhere on the order of around 10 inspections that were either compliance related or regularly required inspections. During the period, we've also worked to continue to update the survey data, with our objective being to be better able to provide the approved contractors with elevations to set the culverts in various new constructions in the right of way. We also attended the Lee County MS4 co-permittee meeting. We're scheduled for another site inspection this year. The date will be determined at some point in the future. I reminded them that we were inspected 2 years ago, I believe it was right after Eden. And the fact that we're supposed to be inspected every 5 years seemed like this was a little early. And the reason I got was that they were just trying to get caught up on their schedule, so they're going to go ahead and schedule us now. So something to look forward to in the spring, I would expect. We also did participate as part of the MS-14, an inspection of the cement plant, and we're able to provide some input to the county inspector as well as to the city of Bonita Springs, so hopefully that'll bear some fruit in the future. We did coordinate on several occasions with various code enforcement compliance type issues with the city of Bonita Springs and DEP. We conducted the I-5 pre-construction meeting, and I wanted to put out as a reminder to the residents and to the board that with respect to I-5 and their directional drilling that they're doing, we have simply issued them a license to use the right-of-way. Any conflicts or any damage that results from I-5's fibers directional drilling is between the resident and I-5, not with the district. We simply gave them a license to use the right-of-way, not to. So if someone has an issue with I-5, they need to take it up with I-5 fiber.
You're not referring to the easements, you're referring to from where their box is to the house.
If they directional drill through your...
But we had a situation the other day where they drilled through an underground cable that mm-hmm. was unidentified to somebody's house.
Okay.
And that all got taken care of and resolved within hours.
Right.
So that's what you're referring to.
Well, I've heard of that and other issues that may come up.
Well, the reason I'm asking you the question, I'll just put it out like that. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you the question because the I-5 has created a number of places along every ditch out here, whereas they need to come back and fix it as the water gets out of the ditches. There's no
right.
way to do it at this current time. We expect that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a resident's problem. That's something we're going to see to it that it will be done.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cleaning up the areas around the handholds, raking them down, getting some sod on, getting them stabilized. That is our issue.
Oh, that's I wanted to clarify before
yes.
you had every resident out here calling.
That being said, is it important for residents to document some damage in case, you know, there is an unresolved issue that happens later on?
Correct.
I know we're going to be hearing from the I-5 representative later, so maybe he can discuss that. But you're just saying it's up to the residents' responsibility to document and deal with I-5 after everything's all said and done, the swales are already repaired back to normal, if there's any extenuating circumstances beyond that.
If there's any issue where they directional drill through a water line, a sewer line, a power line, anything, that's not us. That is the utility and the homeowner and I-5. Now the handhold issue, yes, that will be taken care of. We'll be talking with I-5 about their housekeeping on that to make sure those are raked down, leveled out, cleaned up, and sodded, so that we don't have any future issues with the right-of-way.
I just want to make sure as we get the water down and we get to that point that they understand that the dirt and stuff that's washed down in our canal,
right.
in our ditch system,
right.
will be removed and that'll be resodded.
Right.
Okay?
And we did cover that during the pre-construction.
I knew that. I right. just was saying, repeating it for the benefit of the people that are listening.
Very
okay?
Good. Thank you. Additionally, during the period, we coordinated with the survey on the eastern end of the 300-foot partial. And so those stakes have been set in the ground. That's the fee simple property on the westerly end of the district. Provided information to the district relative to hydric soils within the district. Assisted several residents with permitting questions. Assisted in the budget cycle and provided support to the district special counsel regarding the ongoing litigation. So it's been a busy month. And that's all we have at this time.
Thank you very much. Manager's report.
As the engineer stated, I've been part of the 10 different driveway inspections from rough to getting close to final. someone has either taken for fun or it blew off. I have no idea, but one of the streets, the cross signs are missing. So I've ordered that for materials. I'm going to pick them up tomorrow and replace that street sign that says strike and a side street. It's been brought to my attention that there is somebody that's running through social media platforms asking to buy a fob from people here. I said it's been brought to my attention that someone is using social media platforms to try to purchase a fob from people back here, and they don't live here. So, you know, it's incumbent upon all the residents. The fobs are for us, not for outside people. So just keep that in mind, please. There was a, as the engineer stated, we toured the preferred concrete plant, and some of the discussion there, working and talking with them, is that they might consider contributing to some of our cleanup of the canal. So we're going to work some calculations, Ron and I, on what percentage that would be on our cost of the total canal clean. And they weren't opposed to it. They think being good stewards of keeping the canal clean, they're interested in talking with us. So I think that's a good sign. And then, of course, I-5 pre-construction meeting, and Scott will discuss some of that a little later in the meeting. That's it.
Chair's report. Everything I've had to say tonight's been covered so far, so we're going to move on to the treasurer's report. Is your, we need this mic turned on over here, Pastor, if you would, please.
Is it turned on?
Hello?
Sounds like it's...
Is it? Okay. Yeah, worked on the budget, met with the auditor to go through budget line items, make sure everything was reading correctly. Okay. Yeah, worked on the budget. We had the special meeting for the HB 4033 this past month. So, it, as Ron said, it's been a very busy month preparing for all of those items. Other than that, trying to close up the books for the fiscal year, but the remaining invoices. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Move on to the attorney's report.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Under item 12E, I will talk to you in greater detail about my request for an executive session to discuss the pending litigation related to the lawsuit that Mr. Montero or Mr. and Mrs. Montero have brought against the Water Control District. As with everyone else, it has been a busy month, and we have covered quite a bit of ground. With the adoption of the budget, we'll make sure that that gets put on the website so that everyone can see that resolution and adopted budget. And other than that, I'll reserve my comments until we get down to 12E on the executive session, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any amendments to the meeting agenda this evening? If there are none, then we're going to move forward to public input on business agenda items only, 3 minutes. Anybody like to speak? We're going to move forward then to the business agenda items, items requiring action. Did you have something at this point you wanted to say?
No, sir. I'll speak down under item E.
Okay. Meeting minutes approval for August 18th, 2025. Board meeting. Need a motion?
A motion to approve the meeting minutes for August 18th, 2025 board meeting.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Aye. Motion passes. Financial report approval. 8/31/25 bank statements and 8/31/25 financial reports.
Put a motion forward to approve the financial reports for 8/31/25 bank statements and 8/31/25 financial reports.
I'll second that.
Aye. Motion carries. C, iFiber representative to discuss next steps on construction of the i5 fiber optics. If you'd please come up forward.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. My name is Scott Jackson. I'm the marketing director for I-5 Fibers. Some of us have already met.
And here we
are. Is this working?
Just a moment. We're getting the mic turned up.
Tilt it up to you.
Hey, my wife's going to come up and take care of that for you. Just give her a moment.
It's only.
Hello.
Again, Scott Jackson with I-5 Fiber. I'm the marketing director. Most of us have met. I've been to some of your houses already. As the board has said, we have begun construction. What that means is we are doing directional drilling. We hand dig our bolts out in front of the poles. So it is kind of messy. Give us some time, patience. There's four sectors. We just started the first one, which is south of Strike Lane from Lucy Drive to the beginning of San Carlos Estates. From there, we'll move to the north side and head east of Imperial Parkway. As each sector is completed, we will pull the conduit, set the bolts, and then we pull the fiber, slice the fiber, light it up, so when that sector is completed, you guys can get your install done, sector by sector. Once the slicing is done, we'll come in and do the restoration, but as the board stated, the swells are full of water, it's really messy, so if we're gonna put sod in there, we wanna make sure it's gonna stay and not wash away. So with that said, if it does, we will come back and fix it. We like to treat your yard better than your neighbor's dog, okay? So we want to make sure it's done properly. With that said, each sector takes about 45 to 60 days to light up. We are moving very quickly, so it might be far less than that. As far as the construction goes, my construction manager could make it here, get on the marketing director, so I can't get into too many details, but please, please, if you see something, say something. Call me directly, call the office. We have a little chat bot on i55fiber.com. Talk to us there. We'll come out and assess it ourselves. Any questions regarding construction?
I have one question for you. I was driving down Darlene Smith Beach Drive. I have one question. We were driving down one road the other day, and I see these boxes on the side of the road. Is that going to stay at that level?
No, everything goes underground. It's got a green lid. And all we do is pull that lid up.
And all those swales.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to leave them at the top of the swell because of the rain. We had a couple of them float away. So we moved them kind of close to the street so they didn't wash away.
Scott, you want to explain to them about when it's at the vault from that point to the house, who's paying for what and what's being done versus a barn in the back?
Sure. I believe at your house last week, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says he's got a barn in the back. With that said, okay, we're gonna run the fiber at our cost, free installation to the home. If you want something in the back, it's $5 rental for one of our Aero Pros, it's a mesh network, but you'll have to find somebody to bury that Ethernet line going from your house to the garage or to the pole barn. We do have contractors that we do use that do our drop areas from the vault to the house. So if you'd like a recommendation, I know two or three companies that I've used over the last 10, 11 years in this. With that said, also restoration period, again, please be patient. Once that vault is set, usually a week or so, we're already restoring it, okay? So, but if you see something, again, please say something, especially to me, I'll come out, take pictures, and get it fixed.
Okay, anything?
One more question. I sent two emails for John's comments at the last meeting or whatever, but y'all talked about it. I never got a response. Are you going to respond to people when their section lights up?
Yes. So with the board's permission, I'd like to put an update. I know you spoke earlier. A lot of people don't go to the website, but I want to do an update like monthly on the website for you folks. Also, I signed up for Your Next Door. It's kind of like Facebook or whatever for San Carlos Estates. So all my information's on there. There's a lot of people who use that instead of going to the website. So I'm there and available to answer any questions on there.
Okay, Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Moving on. Okay, we're at 12D right now. What this is a selection of dates for the 2025-2026 meeting nights. We will post it on our website. We have got some alternative dates that you will see on there this time, because we are not going to have meetings on holidays that are national holidays, etc. So we had some trials and errors with that this last year and probably the year before, and so we're correcting that this year, and we're moving where we will not be meeting on other national holidays.
So, Mr. Pringle, the board needs to adopt these dates, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may. The board needs to take action to approve the proposed dates for the board meetings, regular monthly board meetings, and then I will have a notice of the board regular board meetings published as required by law, and you'll put it up on your website as well.
Okay. Motion on the floor to adopt proposed meeting nights for the upcoming year 25-26, and I need an emotion. I need approval. James?
I'll second.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just to clarify, the motion is to approve the regular monthly Board of Supervisors meetings. In addition, you have listed September the 26th as the annual landowners meeting, but we'll have to take action to actually formally adopt that date later. So this is a proposed date for the annual landowners meeting, but the other dates will be published in the newspaper notice of meetings for the 12 months.
Okay.
So is it proper to motion forward without that date, essentially? Or just to accept the Mondays of the landowners meeting? Or
yes, sir.
Supervisor meeting?
Yes, sir. So the motion will reflect that. Yes, sir.
Okay, right. Motion on the... Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You want us to read it?
Sure. I'll put a motion forward to accept the dates for the supervisors' board meetings as laid out on the sheet. Basically, the third Monday of each month, except where it would lie on a holiday, and then it would be that Tuesday. That's the motion.
And are you going to eliminate the September 26th Saturday annual landowners meeting?
I did not reference that one.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's fine. Yes, sir. No, that's good. Because he did not reference that in the motion. He just referenced...
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't approving that.
Yes, sir. Correct. That is correct.
Sure.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion carries. Public input on business agenda items.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I have one more item, 12E,
okay.
On your agenda, please, sir.
We're going to back up to 12E.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. As I indicated earlier, under Florida law, and in particular 286, section 286.011 of the Florida statutes, that's the law that requires the board to meet in the public meetings, but there is an exception to that requirement, and it is found in section 286.011 subsection 8, and that provision says that notwithstanding the requirements to meet in the public, the board of the district can meet in private with the entity's attorney and with the executive officer, which would be Mr. Salucci, to discuss pending litigation to which the district is a party. The prerequisite is that at this meeting, I, as the district's attorney, need to bring the item up and advise you in this public meeting that I desire advice concerning the litigation, and in particular with regard to the upcoming scheduled mediation that is going to be held later this month in this pending litigation matter. The title of the case, Mr. Chairman, is Montero versus San Carlos Estates Water Control District. It has a Lease Circuit Court case number of 24-CA-007843, and I would ask the board to approve entering into the executive session. This evening, beginning at 7:45, And because of the timing of the mediation, I have already published the notice of a special meeting to be held this evening at 7:45 p.m. at this location for the purpose of then going into the executive session. So I did cover that requirement.
Okay, I'm going to put a motion on the floor that that as read by the attorney, the Montero versus San Carlos Estates Water Control District will hold a meeting at 7:45 this evening.
And an executive session. Yes, sir.
I will second that.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number 13, public input, 3 minutes. Do we have anybody who wants to say anything?
Good evening, Douglas Clark, Assembly Lane. Just wanted to throw out there really quick, I am DNS line management, we do a lot of maintenance and stuff in the neighborhood. If anybody's having issues with I-5 fiber and getting internet back to their building, feel free to reach out to me. We do it all the time. We run Cat6 cable, we can supply the cable, we can help you guys out, kind of give you an idea what you're looking at if you're not comfortable with using their outside help. So I just wanted to offer that to the community. So
thank you very much.
No problem, guys.
Okay.
I'm Monica Wega on this drive, and I'm sorry that I have to complain about this. My neighbor on the south, 24643 East Drive, Iris Lapri, she hired somebody on this Friday to dig a channel or trench from the middle of her property out to the street to drain all the waters that usually fill up property during the rains and changes it into a lake. So in order for her to drive in, she needs to drain the mud and the sand. Well, she did it very well because she filled out our swale. And in the process, she also filled up my cover on the driveway halfway or more. So if it rains again, like it rained a few nights ago, all the people north of me will probably be flooded to the teeth. They were flooded already this time. That will be because there is a dam of dirt. So somebody must do something because I'm not going to start and dig again.
Okay, Monica, we will look into that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to thank Ms. Cruz for finally addressing the $5 million that was missing 365 days later after it was revealed. I've got a couple questions on it. She said there was $4,781,210 that was used, that was missing. She said there was $44,596,891 that was taken for phase one and phase two assessment. That means there's $184,339 that's still unaccounted for. Her explanation was that they were pilfering out of a maintenance fund to pay the phase one and phase two loans, but I've got the same tax collector spreadsheet that the auditor had back in August of 24 when this was revealed. And 2016 phase one, they collected $561,299.92. Phase two, $75,337. Phase 2007, every year up until it was paid off, they were collecting money. So where did that money go?
Steve, you're not speaking to her, you're speaking to the board.
Oh, I am.
Okay. No, no, you're, so I'm sorry.
I know I can't.
I'm sorry you're not you're speaking to the board.
Also, I wanted to thank Mr. Pringle for reading into the record his stuff that he did. He read about the phase one final judgment sixth finding about the driveway drainage improvements and access roads are lawful. But if you would have read down to the ninth finding, this is a legal document here, authorized the principal amount not to exceed $7,800,000, but complaint asked for not to exceed $7,310,000, 90% of the $8,125,000 stated in the engineer's report. So he said there was an engineer's report that said $16 million. That sounds kind of like a fraud. You turn in one thing to the judge and then you go to the bank with something bigger. And they took out a bigger loan than was authorized by the judge. So I think you guys probably need to think about that. Just a thought.
Thank you for your time.
You betcha.
Anybody else have anything while we're on public input?
I'm going to comment along the same topic as Mr. Parrish, Chris Lawson, 2419 Deeds. And regarding the comments made by the treasurer at last month's meeting, regarding the analysis performed on the reserves of the district funds going back to 2015-16, she stated as fact that prior boards did not properly assess for the CIP assessment that resulted in the reserve use of reserves to pay the CIP loans payments, not referring to the 2021 payoff of the CIP phase two, which resulted in a reported 10-year decline of district reserves. This is not true. There is no missing money speed.
Excuse me.
There is no missing $5 million. There, the audit prepared by the previous CPA, Roy Kisker, when referring to the district's funds balance, he included the debt as part of the funds balance and even referred to that amount as unassigned funds. The district never had $5 million in cash reserves. In 2016, the cash and investments of the district were $1,433,900, of which $1,197.75 was in investments. During the quota 10-year period, the budget for debt servicing was assessed correctly to the landowners, and the debt paid down based on the collection, which exceeded the required debt service, and that is how the note was paid off for CRP Phase 1 early. The reserves most likely have declined over the same period, but this is due to the general maintenance assessments not keeping pace with the general maintenance expenses. And if you recall in the 23-24 annual landowners meeting, it was 24-19, I provided a lines graph that showed assessments. It showed general maintenance assessments, general maintenance expenses, and it showed reserves, and there was a direct correlation between the expenses and the reserves, the expenses going up and the reserves coming down, and insufficient CIP, general maintenance assessments being collected. I showed also another graph that talked about the general maintenance assessments, whereby in 2010 we were at a much higher level than we were since then. And
Chris, you're just about out of time.
Three consecutive years the reserves declined and they stayed stagnant for 5 years, and that was the problem of the board's name. That's what the problem is. So I have an issue where someone says something as fact and it's not fact, but in fact it's a misinterpretation or lack of knowledge of the interpretation of the information being provided.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. I'm Dave Native from Castle Drive. I just want to thank Mr. Parrish for pursuing this. Mr. Bradford continually asks landowners to volunteer, put in work. It's obvious Mr. Parrish put in work. Now, I will accept this may be a bunch of new left nothing, but these are good questions, and we're good. I really think we should pursue the answers that Ms. Lawson provided to get to the bottom of this. I don't know what to think. If this was $5,000, this is $5 million. The reason this came up was a couple years ago, a supervisor was trying to justify increases in assessments by saying that we need $6 million in reserves. I remember that conversation, I was here. So that's what started this, and now we have numbers flying all over the place. And I don't know what to think. I've had a long-term friend who was an MBA from Stern School of Business. He can't figure out our budget documents. So I would just leave it as, you know, whenever these questions come up, I mean, what are the sources of wisdom in our lives? There's an old Sherlock Holmes movie called Murder at the Baskervilles. The book was called Silver Lake, or Silver Blaze. There's a clue that led Sherlock Holmes to the answer. You know what the clue was? And by the way, the book is about a horse. You'll love it. The clue was the dog who didn't bark. So it's a universal wisdom. If somebody is in charge to oversee this, it's the dog who didn't bark if you don't look into it. These are answers of substantial amounts of money, and we would just like some answers. Nobody's accusing it. You guys weren't even involved in this, in most of this, so it's not like you're protecting your own interests other than I don't know what. So your lack of curiosity is probably the most troubling part. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Anybody else like to speak this evening? If not, we're going to move on. Supervisor comments. Anybody got a comment?
Yeah. I was just curious, actually, about a previous point made about the preferred concrete plan. And you guys toured it earlier this month. Well, from what I understand, which I might be wrong, we have somewhat of an obligation to pursue contracts with people that are using our swales, or at least we have the right to request, ask. Under how much authority do we have in regards to, like, you know, the concrete plant, whether they, because you said they might fund some stuff. Are they allowed to say no? Like, what power do we have to kind of say, like, this is how much you owe us for use of our swales versus, you know, optional elected generosity, right? I don't know if that phrased that question properly, but I don't know if you've got an answer to that.
Well, to answer your question first, except for the Brooks, no previous board has asked other surrounding entities to chip in to help clean the canal. Second, I'm sure Ron can speak more in details, but they have a pipe coming into our canal. Mm-hmm. We could always close the pipe, and they don't come into our canal. If they don't want to work
right,
with us.
And I was wondering if that was a kind of, I mean, not that we would want to take malicious action against anyone because we don't want bad neighbors, right? We want to be good neighbors as well. But is that the resolution? Like, if we can't come to some agreement, they can't use this bill, they've got to figure something else out? I just want to make sure the district's quite.
Well, they basically indicated they want to try to be good neighbors.
John,
so.
Okay. The question I have, and I don't want to go into this anymore only because this is a time for the board members to be speaking with one another. It's not supposed to be, okay. So the answer isn't really there yet. We're working on that answer, and when we move forward, and it's something we've been working on now for several years, and we're trying to figure out what those exact costs will be and what their obligations are. And so that's where we're at the moment.
Okay, all right. I'll just say this comment to us board members, but I do think that we have a curiosity of finding the honest truth to where money is allotted to. I think that hopefully we figure out these answers over time, you know, that it's, you know, we do our due diligence and make sure we can answer questions.
My answer to you is that I don't care whether it's $5 or $5 million, I think we should know what those answers are. So with all due respect to that, and the comment was made that some of this or all of it happened prior to the current board being in place, and you know, whatever that is, it's immaterial what board was in place at the time. And I'm not I don't think we should make any more discussion about that at the moment. I think we will look into it. We have been looking into it. Our auditors have looked into it. There seems to be a lot of different theories about what occurred, how it occurred. You know, everybody who ever got on this board has done, I think, the best job they ever could for the money that they get. And it's not really about, you sign up for this job, it's not about the $50 a month. You're telling all of these people that you're going to work for them to the best of your ability. And if it's countless hours you're putting in, that's what you agreed to do when you got voted onto this board. And so with that being said, but I still look back in the history of what I know about the subdivision, and I've been out here since the year 2000. My brother's been out here since the 80s. And, you know, the board meetings I attended in the earlier years, and there were some fighting board members, board meetings going on during the road construction issues and stuff. And I can't see somebody taking a suitcase and carrying $5 million out the door. And there's no way that you can turn around and take, with the small budgets that's been here, decipher off money, and you've got three board members responsible for it. And if you calculate in the 3 years a person sits on the board, how many years that would actually take to do it. It reminds me of a old song that Johnny Cash sang about one part at a time, and it took pretty much 30 years to steal a Cadillac. So when he worked at a factory and he was taking one part at a time out. So, you know, with that being said, it's hard to think how this money could literally have vanished without it being a mistake, you know, a accounting error somewhere along the line, and then being shown up in parts along the way, and now it's like, how do you fix that? You know, I don't have the answer to that. I'm not an accountant, don't intend to be, and never wanted to be. So with that being said, you know, we account for every dime we spend, and I'm sure that the boards in the past did the very best they knew how to do. And if there were some mistakes that were made, and I know that sometimes with boards, you end up with a person as your accountant or as your secretary treasurer or whatever. And I'm talking about over a lot of years, I've had corporations that I've owned that have had bad secretaries or bad managers or bad, not that they were bad, and that was a bad word to use, but the fact is they weren't capable of doing the calculations the way they should have been done, and money might have been put in the wrong account or this or that or not properly handled, but it wasn't a matter of theft. So I don't know how we answer that question. Our accountant firm has looked into it. They gave answers last year. So that's what I think about it. Yep. You have any comment on that, or you just want to stay out?
No, I just, you know, basically, like, overall, looking at what Tuscan did, I mean, we're one of the first boards or that have been, you know, having to deal with that kind of auditing. You know, we've had very qualified or, you know, well-intended people that are doing secretary treasurer jobs, but not specifically maybe, you know, hired to do that position, but have come onto the boards to manage, and like you said, may have allocated in the wrong directions. Who knows? But there's a starting point at some point. It's been addressed by the homeowners. We're all concerned about it, but I do think it had to have been some sort of clerical error. But will we know, you know, without doing a forensic audit and going to that expense? I mean, does it seem necessary at this point? And like you said, you can't take this money yet. None of us can take the money in a suitcase out the door. So something clerical had to have been done 10 years ago.
Well, no board has the ability to sign checks and go cash them. So, you know, it's not like they removed the money and took it someplace. There had to be an accounting error. And so whatever that happened to be, we can spend $10, $20, or $100,000 and review all of the records back. Is it worth that? You know, first of all, you have to think there was a real theft. And I don't believe that there was. So,
yeah.
Okay. Something else?
Yeah, and with your permission, I'd like to just kind of address the public announcement that I'm running for office.
You may do that.
All right. So I just want to let everyone know, as you, most of you definitely here now know, but maybe everyone else doesn't, I was appointed back in November to fill John Solucci's role as he stepped down to take the manager position. You know, I spent the last year really just kind of trying to learn, right? It's basically drinking from a fire hose, trying to understand what's going on, the history, how this works, how to operate on the board, reading the documentation, understanding the history, and I would like to run it back for another 3 years, kind of build upon the knowledge that I've learned, continue to work for you guys and make sure that, you know, I'm here along the way trying to push this in the right direction. So I want to thank you for trusting me this last year, and I hope I can earn your trust over the next 3 years again.
And vote on Saturday.
And for those who don't know, just for the record, the meeting is this Saturday here at 9 a.m., Saturday, 9:20. So look forward to seeing you guys then.
This coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday, September 20th at 9 a.m.
is the annual landowners meeting.
Annual landowners meeting where we'll vote on this opening position that I'm currently in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, let's see. How about an adjournment? Anybody want an adjournment?
Yes, I'll second that.
Okay. Motion to adjourn has been put on the floor. Second's been had. Aye.